We only want to, Matthew chapter 9 verses, Matthew chapter 8. First four verses. Starting at verse 1. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto that. Now the Lord Jesus is beginning his second year of ministry. He's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and as he finishes, we saw last night that they were all astounded. They were amazed. They were amazed because he spoke with authority. The root word for authority is liberty. It means the idea that he spoke with freedom, and it came from his spirit to their spirit, and it made an impact. It was real. Not like the Pharisees. Later on, the Lord Jesus will say, what they say, do, but don't do as they live. They are hypocrites. The Lord Jesus spoke with authority because he's the living Word. He is the Word. He's the communication of it in the body. And so the Lord Jesus speaks to the Beatitudes, and in the Beatitudes, he's saying this, that character is important. Guard your character. That's why in Proverbs it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of the heart flow the issues of life. Your character is important. Who you are is important. That's what's important to the Lord. What you do later will flow out of that. How you serve later will flow out of that. It's an overflow. And he's saying this, that in this world there are the kingdoms of men. It's the kingdom of earth. It's earthy. That's self-seeking. That's the ruled by man. But now there's a kingdom of heaven, the kingdom which God rules over. And in the kingdom of God there are spiritual principles. And in the kingdom of God, who you are is more important than what you do. Many times as I'm doing college and career, I have people come up to me and they'll say things like, well, I wonder what God wants me to be when I grow up. Wonder what vocation He wants me to work in. And you know something? That's not important. It really isn't. It's not mentioned in the Bible. You can't open and put your finger and says, thou shalt be a physician, thou shalt be a this, thou shalt be this, or a garbage man, or a preacher, whatever it is. It doesn't say that because that's not important. What is important is who you are. I've always said about my children, I don't care what they do in life as a vocation. All I care about is that they do it to the glory of God. That they do it as a believer. That they do it according to scriptural principles. That their character is important. And so the Lord Jesus is teaching them this. He's teaching them all those great beatitudes about qualities of character. And he stops and he says this, because you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. And there he's talking about one thing. It's called influence. When I was 10 years old, I told you last night, my dad hung himself. At that time, I went out under the stars, I'll never forget it, and I said, if there is a God, I don't want my life to end like his. I'm 52, or I will be next month. My dad was 40 when he hung himself. I'm 12 years older than my dad. Because he chose to take his life. When they put his body in the ground, he didn't have a person at his graveside. He didn't have anything. He didn't have anyone. His life had showed no meaning, no purpose. Influence is what's important. How your life influences another. That's why selfishness ruins it for a Christian. Because selfishness says, well, I'm going to go through and do what I want, and I'm going to experience this, and I'm going to have these things, and I'm going to do this. And the Lord Jesus says, if you'll lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. In other words, you have to learn that your lives are only as important as they change other people's lives and have an impact on them. Spiritually. And that's what gives it great meaning. And that should be the goal of your life. Lord, use my life to spiritually affect another's for your glory and for your honor. To be an encouragement. To be somebody whose lives change other lives. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying in the salt, and he's saying in the light. That bit about, well, the salt, when it loses its savor, is no good but to be trodden underfoot. All he's saying is it's worthless. You know what's worthless? A believer who's not living a Christian life. That's worthless. What a worthless existence. Matter of fact, it's worthless to you and it's a detriment to the Lord. Because people are looking for something different. Listen, people are in this world, they don't want what everybody else has. Sorrow, pain, despair, emptiness, no meaning to life. They're looking for something different. And believe it or not, as young as you are, you have it. If you're a Christian, God expects you to use that to the glory of God. So the Lord Jesus is talking about influence. He's talking about changing other people's lives with your lives, with your life. And as he gets done, and as he's moving through the Sermon on the Mount, and as he finishes it, and they're standing there in astonishment at all these things that he's been telling them, lo and behold, down from the edge of the crowd, out of the multitudes, starts to push his way a leper. Now, you're going to see, and we see it all the time, how we like to gravitate towards certain kinds of people. You know, we like people that are like us. We like people that we find attractive to us. We don't like the downtrodden. We don't like people that are a little bit different. And so the leper in his day was really different. Under the law in the Old Testament, if you read Leviticus 12 and 13 and all those verses around there, you'll find that they were actually cast out. If you found yourself and you had a little bump on your hand or a little bump on your side or anywhere on your body, and you thought it was leprosy, you were instructed to go to the priest, and they would do a 7-day kind of a ritual on you to see if it really was leprosy. If it wasn't, they tell you, you can go home, it's okay, everything's fine. You just got a mosquito bite, or you got chicken pox, or whatever it is. But if it was found out to be leprosy, they cast you out of the city. They cast you out of you were ceremonial unclean. You just weren't fit for their society. And so you're cast out. Now, we need to stop for a moment because we're going to look at the miracles of the Lord this week and how each one shows something about the Lord Himself that we need to understand, that we need to see. But we need to see, first of all, why are there so many types of sickness in this world? And the answer is because in this world, which is material, God has ordained that material things teach spiritual lessons. When the Lord Jesus was walking with His disciples down the road, and He looked over, and they said, Master, what about this? He didn't just stop for a moment and put His hand on His chin and look around and say, oh, there's a bush over there with a bird in it. And now let me think. I can make a nice little story called a parable up about that bird. Let me think for a minute. The Bible teaches that God created all things to serve Him. Revelation 4:11, for His good pleasure. How do they do that? Listen, God is invisible. He's a spirit. No man can see Him. So what He did was He made a material realm to which He can be seen and evidences of can be seen, and the invisible spiritual world can be seen in the physical. So everything physical teaches something. When God created trees in the beginning, they teach something. Birds teach things. I believe everything in life, if you study your scriptures long enough and you're sensitive to God, you can see something every day just from the things around you that will teach spiritual things. When man sinned in the beginning, a result of sin was sickness and death. God was teaching a lesson. God was teaching a principle. Sickness is a picture of sin. The reason why there are so many types of sickness, I mean, God could have ordained it just this way. We all die of old age. The bodies just break down. Or He could have just made one germ and said, the cold. We're all going to die by a cold. But that's not how it happens. And the reason is, when you study your Bible, you'll see leprosy is a picture of something. You'll see that palsy is a picture of something. Deafness is a picture of something. Sightlessness is a picture of something. Everything is a picture to God of some aspect of sin. How sin blinds us so we can't see God. How sin paralyzes us so we can't serve God. How sin makes us unclean so we're not fit for God's presence. All these things makes us blind, makes us deaf. All these things teach us attributes about God or about sin. Now, when we talk about miracles, we have to first all of a sudden define miracles. Now, I'm not here to argue with you whether or not God still does miracles today. I believe that He does, and the greatest are spiritual. But I believe this. I believe that God has ordained miracles for a reason. And I think today we're going after the miracles instead of the reason behind them. So I want to give you this morning, before we get into the leper in more detail, the importance of miracles in the Bible at the time of the Lord Jesus. There are three words. They're found in Acts chapter 2, I think it is, when Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and he says, this man, Jesus Christ, approved among you by miracles, signs, and wonders. Those three words are a complete definition that God wants you to understand. Now, it says he was approved, made visible, marked out by God as the man God wants you to look at. See him. Now, let me tell you and give you a definition by those three words. The word miracle means a mighty power that only God can do. The word wonder is what it produces. Oh, you know, if I stood up here right now and I could just like kind of gravitate up about 8 feet and just hover above you, yeah, everybody's head would come up all of a sudden. It would be interesting. Or if I could stand here and just make fire come out of my hand right now, some of you would wake up and say, "Wow, I think I'll watch this guy for a while." Why? Because there's a result. It's called wonder. All of a sudden, how do you do that? I saw a guy one time take an empty paper bag, show that it was empty, close it up, shake it, and pull a watch out of it. I learned how he did it later. It was pretty sneaky, but I mean, he did it. But he got my attention. Listen, a mighty work of God that gets somebody's attention. Whoa, wonder, what's going on here? And then the last word is sign. Now, you know what signs are? They point you somewhere. A sign says, you're here, but it's over there what you're looking for. So a miracle is this, a mighty work of God to get your attention, to point you so that you see something. And it's always about God. God wants to do a miracle, not so that you won't have a runny nose anymore, or bent over back, or so Brother Hart's knees are okay, or hips. And he does it so that when it happens, you realize, whoa, God's here, God's doing something, and boy, He's got my attention, and guess what? What does He want me to see? It's over there. And it's always going to be about the Lord Jesus. So we're going to see that in every one of these. And to cling to all this stuff about miracle without ever seeing the spiritual is to embrace a physical thing and never say why God has a spiritual behind it. There's a lesson. God is saying, look at me, I want you to learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, the Lord Jesus said. We're to learn constantly about Him. So we're going to look at some of these in Matthew 9 and 10, Matthew 8 and 9. There are 10 of them there. And I believe they're wonderful, complete picture, 10 things about God, about the Lord Jesus you need to know. And the first one's the leper. Now, as I said already, this leper comes down and he's unclean. He is vile. He's got, like I said, if you got a bump, you got to go to the priest and say, you know what, I don't know whether this thing's just an ingrown hair or a mosquito bite or maybe it could be leprosy. Could you take a look at that? It's leprosy. Thank you. An adversary already. I haven't been here half a day. I've got an adversary already. But that's okay. Listen, the priest would look at it and the priest would say, you've got leprosy, just like she said. And you know what? You're gone. You're out of here. So you know what our tendency would be? Listen, I just won't go tell a priest. After all, it's on my elbow. No one will ever see it. So I just wear a long sleeve shirt. Right now I have something on my body. You don't know what it is. But, you know, if I take my shirt off, you'd see it. It's just a tattoo. It's from my pre-Christ days, but it's okay. But you see, I can cover things up, can't I? You can too. And you know what? Leprosy is a wonderful picture of an aspect of sin because, number one, for a while you can cover it up. Just like Naaman in the Old Testament. You know, I'll cover it up. He took like 7 or 8 changes of clothes with him everywhere he went because after a while the bump would start to ooze and get scabby. And so when it bled through the, oh, you got blood on your elbow. Oh, okay. He'd go change it, put a new one on, and they never, you know, he could just keep changing it. And you know what? There's some of us here, we're doing that. You know, we know we got a bad spot. We know we're rotten. We know we've got a sin in our lives. But you know what? Nobody else knows but me. I'll just cover it up. So we keep covering it. But then what happens finally with this leprosy is it gets so bad you can't cover it up. All of a sudden it's here. And then it's here. And then God puts one. I don't know about you, but when I get a blemish, it's normally right here. I never forget one time I had a friend. I was making fun of this friend. This friend had a pimple right under their eye, and I was making fun of it. You know what happened? 1 week later, I had one right on the end of my nose. I learned never to make fun of other people, because boy, I had it. This leprosy, listen, when you read the other accounts, Luke is wonderful, because he was a physician, full of leprosy, full. In other words, this guy couldn't hide it. This guy must have been hiding up in the mountains away from everyone else because they'd make fun of him. They'd pick at him. They'd probably throw stones at him. They'd probably make nasty names about him. He's up there hiding. But all of a sudden, he gets wind that the Lord Jesus is down in that town. And he says, you know what? I'm going to go to him. I've got to get down there to the Lord Jesus. Because he's the only one who can take care of my problem, this leprosy. And all of a sudden now, He goes down. Now, we've got to answer before we understand what the Spirit of God is trying to teach us in leprosy here in the Lord Jesus cleansing this leper. We've got to hit something very close. What is the real big issue with leprosy that God wants you to see, and why is it a wonderful picture of sin other than you can hide it for a time? I believe the answer is found in Numbers chapter 11. You don't have to turn to it. You can write it down. Numbers chapter 11. When you read Numbers chapter 11, you'll find this. Miriam and Aaron are tired of their brother Moses leading them. So they start attacking his leadership. Don't ever, ever, verbally or behind the scenes physically, attack God-ordained leadership. You're in trouble. And so they start attacking Moses. But they do it to him. Well, who are you? You think you're the only guy around here that can lead us? You're Mr. Big Shot? Are you the only one smart enough to lead us? You think you're something just because God chooses you? And it says that Moses was a meek man. So he figured, well, I don't need to take care of this. Let's just let him talk. That's a good thing to do. You don't need to fight your battles as a Christian, you know. God fights them a lot better. God can fight your battles for you. And so he just leaves it with the Lord. And finally, the Lord has enough of Miriam snickering and backbiting and chiding and murmuring. So it says the Lord himself comes down and he smites her with leprosy. Boom. Now all of a sudden, there's Miriam with this leprosy. And her skin, which was once like a child, now becomes full of disease, scabs, pus, oozing. Just a terrible picture. She can't hide it. She's just smitten with it. All because she did something that annoyed God. She disobeyed God. She wouldn't follow the leadership. So Aaron makes a statement that it tells us the importance of the picture of leprosy. He says this, "Oh Moses, please, you got to do something. Don't leave Miriam as one who is dead while she's still alive." Now pay attention. This is important for this morning's lesson. Leprosy is a picture of sin. Because although you're alive, you've got death written in your body, a death sentence. You are dead. That's why leprosy is a picture of sin. Oh yeah, you look okay, and oh yeah, you're breathing and you're walking around. But like he says, you're a dead man walking. It's stamped on you. He that believeth not is condemned already. Now go back in your thinking all the way back to Genesis into the garden. And in the garden, the Lord told Adam, he said, look, the day that you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. Eve's over there talking to the serpent, dialoguing with the serpent, when she should have been going to her husband and saying, hey, someone snuck in the garden, you better go to God and tell him what to do. And what happens is, the devil says, listen, God knows you're not going to die the day you eat. And guess what happens? She eats. I'm still here. The devil was right. I didn't die. Oh, yes, you did. You died once. You can die a second time. You died spiritually. You want to know how? Look at you hiding under the tree when God's looking for you, when you used to love to be with God. Spiritual death. In her body right then, when Adam and Eve sinned, they had written, physical death's coming too. It's just down the road a bit. Just because you sin and get away with it and God doesn't strike you dead at that moment like Ananias and Sapphira, listen, you've still got death written in it. Leprosy is a picture of sin because it says this, you're dead while you're alive. Dead while you're alive. Now let's stop just for a moment and make it practical. Some of you here are Christians and you're saying, good, go get them. Listen, let me tell you something. This is for you too. Galatians chapter 6 says this, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever soweth a man, that shall they also reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, death. You sow to the Spirit, you reap life. Listen, there are some of us who are Christians who have been disobeying the Lord. We've been doing things sinful that are dishonoring to the Lord. And even though we're still breathing, we're going in a tailspin in corruption. That's what James chapter 1 says. Lust when it conceives brings forth sin. Sin when it conceives brings forth death. It's a downward spiral. Blessed is a man who walketh not, who standeth not, someone who sitteth not. It's a downward spiral. Sin is always a downward spiral. I know, I've been in those spirals. I told you last night, there have been two times in the last 30 years as a believer, I got involved in those and I went down. Some of you are there. And listen, it's going to, you disobey the Lord, you go from living real life to a downward spiral into corruption, and you've got a sentence on you that says, hey, I'm dying. If any man sees another person sinning towards death, then pray not for that person, 1 John says. Listen, some of us need to realize something. To obey the Lord is the most important thing to do, because that's where real life is, and that's where God wants us, that's where blessing is, and that's where victory is, and that's where usefulness is, and that's where our joy is, not in disobedience. And just because you can change your shirt and no one sees it, you know you've got the leprosy on you. And there's some of you who aren't even Christians yet. And some of you just have a little bump of leprosy. You look pretty good. You're religious. You might even go to church, and all that's really great. But listen, you can go to McDonald's. You're not a hamburger. You go to church. You're not a Christian. That's just the way it is. It's that way. I remember teaching a Bible study in Hollywood, Florida, in a home in about 1984, 85. And there was a young girl sitting there. She'd been there for a year every Wednesday night. And she sings. Listen, she was raised in a Christian home. She went to a Christian school. She graduated from a Christian college, and she was singing in a Christian quartet. And we were speaking that night on, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, and I will say, I never knew you, depart from me. At the end of that Bible study, she came up and she said, you know what? You're talking to me. And she started to cry. She said, I've been going through all these things. I'm not even a Christian. And the woman next to me said, oh, tell her she is. She's just confused. I'm not telling her that. She knows what she is. We stood there, and she accepted the Lord. She went on for the Lord. Some of you are sitting here. Some of you look good because you've been changing the outside, and you've got little bumps of leprosy that you can clothe, and it looks okay. But then there are others. Listen, some of you are so covered, you know it, and everyone else knows you're not a Christian, and you're proud of it. You're walking around saying, look at the scabs on my face. Look at the leprosy. Isn't that wonderful? I know, because I was there for a few years. I told you last night, I love high school, college age, because I feel you guys are at the... Do you realize that you're at the time of your life where you will use your brain more in 24 hours than any other time? It's true. You're very mindful. Your minds are just flying. But some of you are using your minds in all the wrong ways, and you're wasting your time. You're wasting your efforts. And when you die, you'll never have anything on the other side in eternity for any reason, for any purpose. I know it. I see it. Now, let me just talk a little bit more about this downward spiral. Some of you who I know Stuart and some of the others, I remember you from family camp 2 years ago and from some other things. But I'll tell you this, in our high school, in 1994, we had a young boy, his name was Shante Harrison. Shante was a state champion triple jumper. He was on our state runner-up football team. He was a cornerback. I had him for 3 years. In my Fellowship of Christian Athletes Bible study in school, had him in my home. Matter of fact, I can tell you on the Friday before the Monday when he died, what he was doing, what I was doing with him. He called me that Saturday. He called me that Sunday after church. Monday evening, I was going to Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and he hadn't been to school because I thought he was sick. And my wife called me, and she said, honey, you need to go by Shante's house. He's killed himself. I couldn't believe it. Shante came to us. He was a ninth grader. He was a little kid. I knew him through the ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade. He would come to Bible study. He would hear the Word of God. And by the summer of his senior year, when he was going from 11th to 12th grade, we went to Canada. And my wife and I were in British Columbia for the summer, the whole 3 months of the summer. We got home. We didn't even unpack. I said to Betty, we got to go to school. Football practice there. I got to go see my boys. Went down to football practice. I'll never forget watching Shante break out of practice, which he shouldn't have done, come running over the fence, say, B, I got to tell you something. He said, man, I accepted the Lord this summer. I said, really? He said, yeah, I was baptized. I'm now in church. Man, I go down to Missionary Baptist Church. I said, well, praise the Lord. That's great, man. Big hug. What's going on for the Lord that September? All of a sudden, October, he started getting a little bit distant. All of a sudden, his life just started going in a downward spiral. just a downward spiral. Started hanging around with an unsaved girl. She lied, said she was carrying his baby when it wasn't true. I mean, things were just going wild for him. And you know what? It got to the point where he said, there's no way out. My life is so full of corruption, I can't get out of it. So, on a Monday morning, his mom went to work. He never knew his father. His father never lived at the house. He went and walked all the way to his sister's house a mile away, got a gun, came back to his house, laid down on the floor next to a brand new waterbed. Didn't want to hurt the waterbed. He knew his mother would want to use that. So he laid down and pointed the gun away from the waterbed and shot through his head into the wall. 17 years old. I had to go there with his mother and the police as that boy's body laid there. It's pitiful. All because, as a Christian, he let his life get out of control to the dishonor of the Lord Jesus and listened to the devil that said, there's no way out now. But I'll tell you this, if the devil knew the glory that would come out of that death, he'd have never had that boy put the trigger to his head. You know, you're of your father the devil. Lust of him you will do. He's a liar and what? Murder. But I'll tell you what, if he would have known it, he would have never done it. You should have seen the blessing came out of that boy's death, out of that boy's funeral. Psalm 130 says, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? Do you realize that? Do you realize if God kept a list, none of us would stand there and say, here I am, talk about me, Lord. That's what the psalmist was saying. Lord, we're all in trouble. We all sin. We all got sin. We're going to sin. We're going to fail. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what he says. But he says this, but there is forgiveness in thee that thou mightest be feared. In other words, you say, why would God want to do anything with my sin after I've rebelled so much? You say, why would God want to have a relationship with me when I'm such a washout and full of such leprosy, well, like the sin I'm involved in? And the answer is because when you're converted and when you're changed, as my life did at the age of 23, all of a sudden you become an instrument for honor and glory. And people shake their head and said, is that the same John Brower I knew? That can't be him. And guess what? People fear the Lord and they realize there's power in God. And listen, a testimony is a changed life. That's what testimony is. Don't go around telling people about the Lord Jesus when you're still full of leprosy. So here, listen. Now listen. Here comes the leper. He's pushing through. He wasn't supposed to be in town. I don't care. I got a problem. That man's going to... Listen, he was in utter helplessness. He was in utter desperation. He knew his problem had to be taken care of, and he knew the only one who could take care of it was the man in the middle of that crowd. So get out of my way. I'm coming. I don't care. That's the way you have to come to the Lord. Utter dependence. Utter hopelessness. Knowing only he can do it. You've tried all the other things. They don't work. And boom, here you come. And the leper comes pushing through. Can you imagine those people jumping out of the way? Oh, here he comes. Get out of the way. Here she comes. Get out of the way. And he pushes through. And he looks at the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus looks at him. Now mark the words that he says. He looks at the Lord Jesus, and he says, if you're willing, you can make me whole. That leper never said, if you're powerful enough, that was never the issue. Do you know the issue this morning for your life and getting your life in order and dealing with the disorder and the chaos and the sin in your life is never the power of God? It's just as easy for God to make a sparrow as it was for Him to make the whole universe. God didn't even break a sweat when He made all the universe. Matter of fact, the psalmist calls it the work of His fingers. It's like my mother knitting. It's just, oh yeah, the stars. Oh yeah, you want some of this? Yeah, no problem. There's no problem. There's no... look at that leper didn't say, oh, I wonder if God loves me enough to do it. Love's not the issue either. It says God is love. The only love you'll ever know in this life or the next is God. That's right. The issue is this, Lord, if you're willing. And you know what the Lord said to him? I will. Be thou whole. This is the same Lord that said over Jerusalem, I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chick. I would have, but you would not. Could you imagine that? Here's God saying, I want people to know me. Here's God saying, I want to have a relationship with you. I'm willing in this relationship to take care of all your problems, to deal with all your sinfulness, to make you my workmanship, to create in you the very image of my Son so we can maintain this relationship. I would, but yet we thumb our nose at him and say, forget it. Can you imagine that? I would, but you would not. The issue is, what great words to hear the Lord Jesus say, I will. So that clears up forever everyone ever knowing the desire of the heart of the Lord. It is the Lord's desire this morning to look at you and say, I will, be thou whole. Now, I have a question. The Lord Jesus came as a man to fulfill all the claims of the law. But it says he touched a leper. If he touched a leper, he'd be same as touching a dead person and he'd be unclean. But yet, he touched him. How could that be? And don't tell me the patented answer because he's God. He came as a man to fulfill the claim. He had to as a man. Let me just tell you the answer because most of us never think about it. He said, I will. When did the leper get clean? When he touched him or when he said, I will? Huh? In the beginning, God said, what? On the day one, he said, let there be. You know the interesting thing in Hebrew? It's just he willed it. It wasn't, it's not a spoken word. He just said, okay. Listen, he said, I will, you're clean. Boom, he was clean immediately. He touched him. Why did he touch him? To let him know he was clean already. You know what? People came to me when I was 23. They said, how do you know you're saved? I said, I know it. The Lord just, I just know it. How do you know it? The Lord touched me. He just gave me that assurance. He's just saying, oh, you're okay. Now go. 10 years ago, I fell into sin. The Lord restored me. He touched me. He said, guess what? You're clean. Go ahead. Go out there. And he said to this man, go show yourself to the Pharisees. Go to the priests. Go show the priests as it says in the law of Moses. Show them you're clean. And that's the reason why it's so important. The key to our testimony is this. I am cleansed. Notice he didn't heal him of leprosy. Leprosy is always cleansed. Because it's a picture of conversion. It's a picture of dealing with that sin. It's cleansed. Now, I have no record in my Bible from the book of Leviticus on that anyone ever was cleansed of leprosy and went to a priest. Can you imagine those priests in the tabernacle or the temple, in the day of the Lord, and they're and Lord Jesus, and they're working along, and all of a sudden there's a knock and say, hey, there's some guy out here. I remember him on the corner. He used to be a leper. He wants to talk to you priests. About what? They probably didn't even know the scripture verse. I mean, it had been that old and that buried. He's here to show himself. He wants you to see he's been clean. I want to just, this is a great place to wind this one up. Listen, you're going to come to camp and you're going to get excited about the Lord. The Lord's going to put your life in order. You know what he's going to expect you to do? Go out and show yourself. He doesn't say go out and run around and tell everyone. He says go out and show yourself. A lot of times I hear Christians say things like this. I'm tired of people judging me. They look at me and they say, you're a Christian? Why don't you do this? You have no right to judge me. Oh, yes, they do. James says, you have faith? Show me. In other words, if you say you're saved and you have the Spirit of God and you believe in the Word of God, then show me. Because the only thing I can see, I can't see your faith. I've got to see what it produces. That is our testimony. That is our witness. Go out, show yourself. I am clean. John chapter 9, I don't know, I once was blind, but now I can see. It's a marvelous thing. This man you call a sinner, but boy, no one ever done anything like this in my life before. Look at me now, I can see. Aren't you the guy that was blind, now you see? Aren't you the leper that couldn't go anywhere because you were ceremonially unclean? Now look at you. Don't stand up at testimonies and say, well, you know what, 20 years ago I was... No, you tell people now, look at me, look at my life now. Look at it now. Look what God's doing now. Look at how he's changed. Aren't you the guy? Listen, go back to school with your head held high. People say, what's wrong with you? You're different. Say, thank you. You're not the same as you were last year. Thank you. Guess what? I'm cleansed. The Lord Jesus said, I want to cleanse you. And I said, I want you too. And now look, my life has changed. My life has changed. We have a young man in our town, and I'll close with this. His name's Peter Dixon. I do a lot of work at Christian academies and different places. I get tickled when I hear people say things about their problems and about the problems that they're dealing with in their school and stuff. I just say, come to my school for a while. You just got to come. Peter Dixon. Let me tell you about Peter Dixon. I had his uncle years ago, Fred. His name was Fred Rogers. Two toughest kids you'll ever want to meet. I'm guarantee you right now, you don't want to get him ticked off. You don't want to get him mad. You don't want to get him upset. He's been shot. He's been stabbed. He is shot. He has stabbed. His Uncle Fred was so bad that when his brother Khalil was shot in the leg during a basketball game, that he went home and took a 2x4 and walked to the kid's house that shot him opened the front door, busted it down, went upstairs. The kid was so afraid that he just froze. He dragged him by the collar out the front door, out in the front street of the project, and beat him with a 2x4. So everybody got the message, don't mess with my family. That boy didn't have a bone that wasn't broken. And Fred went happily on to prison, but he got the message across, don't mess with me. So here comes Peter Dixon to school. Peter's his little cousin. Peter comes to Bible study. Oh, I don't know if I want to come to Bible study. You got all kinds of bad people going there. Isn't that wonderful? We like to choose people that the Lord, we want the Lord to work in their lives, you know. We don't want to go to everyone. The Lord says He came to save and to seek what? Yeah. Sinners. Lost. Peter's sitting in a little classroom, and we've got about 40 kids, and we're going over John chapter 3. Peter's been shot in the ankle just a month earlier. Guy driving by wanted to kill him, shot from his car, shot him through the ankle as he was running to get away from the car. Peter listens to John chapter 3. He looks at me without a blink. He says, are you telling me that if I accept the Lord Jesus and believe that He died for me, that I can have a new start in my life? I said, sure do. That's what it says right there, doesn't it? Peter says, I'm new. I believe. I'm new. I want a new start. Here comes Peter. Peter's coming to all the Bible studies. Peter's just coming along. Peter's a new creature. But I'll tell you this, he's not perfect either. About a month later, we're sitting there and I'm talking about forgiveness. I'm talking about how God forgives unconditionally and how we're to. And Peter jumps up and says, B, I'm not there yet. I can't do that. I'm going to get the guy that shot my leg. I said, Peter, you have to. But I can. I said, listen, I know you can't. God knows you can't. But I can do all things through who? Christ who gives me the strength. Strengthens me. Listen, you're here this week. You're here today. It's not an issue of God doesn't want to work in your life. It's not an issue of God has the power to or doesn't have the power to. The issue is this. Will you let Him? Lord, wilt Thou make me clean? Listen to the wonderful words. I will. You know what the Lord is saying to you this morning? I don't care what you're involved in. I don't care where you are spiritually. I don't care how long you've turned your back on me and ignored me. I don't care what immorality. I don't care what kind of thing you're in. I want to cleanse your sin today. I will. Take advantage of that. Go to Him. Say, Lord, will you make me whole this morning? Will you cleanse me? And listen, He will. Let's pray.